The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Did you sleep well? It's time to get up and pray. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Friday, April 8th, 2022, Friday of the fifth week of Lent. In the Missal, it's liturgical year C, cycle 2. Friday is a day to pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. And our saint today is Saint Julie Billiard, born in 1751 in France into a family of well-to-do farmers. Julie showed an early interest in religion and helping the sick and poor, but a mysterious illness overtook her at about the age of 30. She witnessed an attempt to kill her father and she was paralyzed and became a complete invalid. For the next two decades, she continued to teach catechism from her bed and offered spiritual advice, attracted visitors who had heard of her holiness. Now, when the French Revolution broke out in 1789, she was smuggled out in a hay cart. She spent several years in hiding in Compiègne. She had a vision during this period in which she saw Calvary surrounded by women in religious habits, and she heard a voice saying, "Behold these spiritual daughters whom I give you in an institute marked by the cross." She and Françoise Blin de Bourdon began the Institute of Notre Dame, which was dedicated to the education of the poor young Christian girls and the training of catechists. The following year, the first sisters of Notre Dame made their vows. That was the same year that Julie recovered from her illness. She was able to walk for the first time in 22 years. Ultimately, they moved the mother house to Namur, Belgium. Julie died there in 1816. Saint Julie Billiard, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. Into thy hands, O God, we commend ourselves this day and all those who are dear to us. Let the gift of thy wonderful presence be with us even to the end of the day. Grant that we never lose sight of thee all the day long, but rather praise and beseech thee that our thanks may come to thee again at its close. Amen. And we join Pope Francis in praying for healthcare workers who serve the sick and the elderly, especially in the poorest countries. May they be adequately supported by governments and local communities. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you're here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. The Jews fetched stones to stone him. So Jesus said to them, "I have done many good works for you to see, works from my Father. For which of these are you stoning me?" The Jews answered him, "We're not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy. You are only a man, and you claim to be God." What about you? Are you going to pick up a stone and throw it at Jesus? Here's this man claiming to be God. That's blasphemy, no? To put yourself on an equal footing to God, to somehow reduce the honor which is due to God, to offend against his almighty holiness by suggesting that a mere man can be God. That's blasphemy. Pick up that stone and throw it at him, if that's what you think. He claims to be God. This man, he has such high expectations of us. He says things that are difficult for us to accept. Love your enemy. Do good to those who persecute you. Forgive others their trespasses. This is my body and blood. How can this man claim these things? How can this man make our life more difficult by these high expectations? Go on, pick up that stone and throw it at him. Give him what he deserves. Make him suffer for the ways in which he makes us suffer with his high and lofty thoughts. No, you say he's the Son of God. Well, surely he can't be like us then if he's the Son of God. How can he understand the sufferings that we face in our own humanity? How can he understand my weaknesses? How can he understand my sinfulness? If he's the Son of God, then he is far removed from me. And I might as well throw a stone at him. Because what good is he to me? He's far, he's distant. He doesn't bear any reference to my life. If that's what you think, pick up the stone and throw it at Jesus. No, you say, he is fully God and he is fully man. That's what the church professes. That's what the theologians tell us about him. He is fully God and he is fully man. He is like me. He does understand my sufferings, but he is also God. Well, then you will believe him completely and totally. Surely you will want to spend all your time with him. You will want to put him at the very center of everything that you do. Maybe you won't pick up the stone if you think that. You see this man, Jesus, standing before us, who has done all these amazing and wonderful works. Maybe you saw somebody be healed. Maybe you saw somebody be consoled by some word that he said. And you too believe that he is the Son of God. Well, you won't stone him for that. But what's the value of your belief? Is this the man that you really want to give your life to? Is this the Jesus that you have been waiting for? Is this the Messiah, the one who will save us from our sins? Is this the Jesus of my life, standing before me now with a stone in my hand? Will I throw it or will I drop it? It might seem a little bit fanciful for us to be praying in this way. But Jesus faces terrible violence today in the gospel for people who cannot accept what he has to say or who he is. Jesus, you come to show us the way to the Father. You come to forgive us our sins. And yet, it can be difficult at times for us to grasp the totality of your love for us, that maybe we run from it even at times. Maybe that feeling of inferiority maybe makes us feel that we want to pick up a stone like those others and throw it at you because they just can't grasp what you're saying. And so we lay this terrible charge of blasphemy against you because it's easy to call people names. It's easy to throw accusations at people whenever really we can't quite understand how to make sense of this in our own lives. In 1 week's time, we're going to celebrate Good Friday. And when we stand in the church on Good Friday, and we hear the reading of the Passion, we are invited to participate in that. Not as bystanders, not as people who 2,000 years later are just recounting a story, but we're called to participate that in the sense that it is relevant to us right in this moment. And standing in the courtyard of Pilate, we too will shout, "Crucify him, crucify him." Because that is what he does for our sins. He dies upon the cross because of our guilt. So how can it be that we see this scene of Jesus standing in the gospel today, people accusing him of being a blasphemer, about to stone him, and we might even feel a kind of a revulsion against that. And yet in a week's time, we too will be shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." Jesus, I think the greatest violence that we often do to you is the violence of indifference. Even though we might believe, even though we might have moments of great consolation in our prayer, we can make great plans and we think you're truly at the center, very quickly our hearts get cold to you, Jesus. And so maybe as we are on the threshold of Holy Week, we need to be reminded of that. As we see you in a situation of violence, of people ready to go beyond themselves in order to do you harm, do we want to defend you, Jesus? Or do we want to attack you as they do? Where is our heart in all of this? Are we going to show some love or some desire towards you in some way? Yes, I think the greatest violence that we often do to you is that we don't love you, Jesus. We don't love you as you want us to love you. With our frailties, with our weaknesses, sure. But to just put you at the center, to surrender all that we have to you. Sometimes we don't do that. And it's why it's good for us, Jesus, to live out these sacred liturgies with all our heart and to participate in them. In 1 week's time, as I said, we will be standing with all of the others in the courtyard before Pilate, having seen you scourged, having seen you ready to face your death. And we too will shout, "Crucify him, crucify him." And if we can't understand that you're doing that for love of us, Jesus, then how can we ever respond to you with love ourselves? There is a poem which was written by an Englishman about Jesus going to Calvary. But he changed it slightly and wrote it about Jesus going to Birmingham. But it could be any city. And really it speaks about the indifference that, Jesus, you suffer through hearts that do not love you. When Jesus came to Golgotha, they hanged him on a tree. They drove great nails through hands and feet and made a Calvary. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. Red were his wounds and deep, for those were crude, cruel days, and human flesh was cheap. When Jesus came to Birmingham, they simply passed him by. They would not hurt a hair of him. They only let him die. For men had grown tender, and they would not give him pain. They only just passed down the street and left him in the rain. Still Jesus cried, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And still it rained, the winter rain that drenched him through and through. The crowds went home and left the streets without a soul to see. And Jesus crouched against a wall and cried for Calvary. Jesus, the greatest violence that we can do to you today is to not love you, is to not put you at the center, is to not struggle with you, is to not ask you for your help. As we go to live the mysteries of your death and resurrection, help us, Jesus, to see that you did this for us in order that we can do something for you, that we can give you our hearts, and that we can be with you, Jesus. I give you thanks for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me during this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.
More of 10 Minutes with Jesus at RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. 17 past the hour on Daybreak. It's Friday of the fifth week of Lent, April 8th, 2022. I'm Paul Sadek, and this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We begin this day of prayer with the whole church. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in the Invitatory Psalm and the Office of Readings.
Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endure temptation and suffering.
The Lord's is the earth and all its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas, on the waters he made it firm.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endure temptation and suffering.
Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
He shall receive blessings from the Lord, and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant. The Lord, the valiant in war.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies. He is the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Rise up, Lord, and come to my aid.
Rise up, Lord, and come to my aid.
O Lord, plead my cause against my foes. Fight those who fight me. Take up your buckler and shield. Arise to help me. O Lord, say to my soul, I am your salvation. But my soul shall be joyful in the Lord and rejoice in his salvation. My whole being will say, Lord, who is like you, who rescue the weak from the strong and the poor from the oppressor? Lying witnesses arise and accuse me unjustly. They repay me evil for good. My soul is forlorn.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Rise up, Lord, and come to my aid.
All-powerful Lord, stand by me and defend me.
All-powerful Lord, stand by me and defend me.
When they were sick, I went into mourning, afflicted with fasting. My prayer was ever on my lips, as for a brother, a friend. I went as though mourning a mother, bowed down with grief. Now that I am in trouble, they gather. They gather and mock me. They take me by surprise and strike me and tear me to pieces. They provoke me with mockery on mockery and gnash their teeth.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
All-powerful Lord, stand by me and defend me.
My tongue will speak of your goodness all the day long.
My tongue will speak of your goodness all the day long.
O Lord, how long will you look on? Come to my rescue. Save my life from these raging beasts, my soul from these lions. I will thank you in the great assembly. Amid the throng, I will praise you. Do not let my lying foes rejoice over me. Do not let those who hate me unjustly wink eyes at each other. O Lord, you have seen. Do not be silent. Do not stand afar off. Awake, stir to my defense, to my cause, O God. Let there be joy for those who love my cause. Let them say without end, Great is the Lord who delights in the peace of his servant. Then my tongue shall speak of your justice all day long, of your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Lord, you rescue the poor from their oppressors, and you rose to the aid of your beloved Son against those who unjustly sought his life. Look on your church as we journey to you, that the poor and weak may recognize the help you provide and proclaim your saving act.
My tongue will speak of your goodness all the day long.
Turn back to the Lord your God.
He is kind and merciful.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews.
If perfection had been achieved through the Levitical priesthood, on the basis of which the people received the law, what need would there have been to appoint a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, instead of choosing a priest according to the order of Aaron? When there is a change of priesthood, there is necessarily a change of law. Now he of whom these things are said was of a different tribe, none of whose members ever officiated at the altar. It is clear that our Lord rose from the tribe of Judah, regarding which Moses said nothing about priests. The matter is clearer still if another priest is appointed according to the likeness of Melchizedek, one who has become a priest not in virtue of a law expressed in a commandment concerning physical descent, but in virtue of the power of a life which cannot be destroyed. Scripture testifies, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." The former commandment has been annulled because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law brought nothing to perfection. But a better hope has supervened, and through it we draw near to God. This has been confirmed by an oath. The priests of the Old Covenant became priests without an oath, unlike Jesus, to whom God said, "The Lord has sworn and he will not repent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Thus, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Under the Old Covenant, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from remaining in office. But Jesus, because he remains forever, has a priesthood which does not pass away. Therefore, he is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he forever lives to make intercession for them. It was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins, then for those of the people. He did that once, for all, when he offered himself. For the law sets up as high priests men who are weak. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints as priest the Son, made perfect forever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ did not take upon himself the honor of becoming high priest. He received it from the one who said to him,
You are a priest forever. A priest like Melchizedek of old.
No oath was taken when others were made priests, but the priesthood of Jesus was confirmed by the oath of God, who said to him,
You are a priest forever. A priest like Melchizedek of old.
The second reading from a treatise on faith addressed to Peter by St. Fulgentius of Ruspe, Bishop. The sacrifices of animal victims which our forefathers were commanded to offer to God by the Holy Trinity itself, the one God of the Old and the New Testaments, foreshadowed the most acceptable gift of all. This was the offering which in his compassion the only Son of God would make of himself in his human nature for our sake. The Apostle teaches that Christ offered himself for us to God as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. He is the true God and the true high priest who for our sake entered once for all into the Holy of Holies, taking with him not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood. This was foreshadowed by the high priest of old when each year he took the blood and entered the Holy of Holies. Christ is therefore the one who in himself alone embodied all that he knew to be necessary to achieve our redemption. He is at once priest and sacrifice, God and temple. He is the priest through whom we have been reconciled, the sacrifice by which we have been reconciled, the temple in which we have been reconciled, the God with whom we have been reconciled. He alone is priest, sacrifice, and temple because he is all those things as God in the form of a servant. But he is not alone as God, for he is this with the Father and the Holy Spirit in the form of God. Hold fast to this and never doubt it. The only begotten Son, God the Word, becoming man, offered himself for us to God as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. In the time of the Old Testament, patriarchs, prophets, and priests sacrificed animals in his honor and in the honor of the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. Now, in the time of the New Testament, the Holy Catholic Church throughout the world never ceases to offer the sacrifice of bread and wine in faith and love to him and to the Father and the Holy Spirit with whom he shares one Godhead. Those animal sacrifices foreshadowed the flesh of Christ, which he would offer for our sins, though himself without sin, and the blood which he poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. In this sacrifice, there is thanksgiving for and commemoration of the flesh of Christ that he offered for us and the blood that that same God poured out for us. On this, St. Paul says in the Acts of the Apostles, "Keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock in which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as bishops to rule the church of God, which he won for himself by his blood." Those sacrifices of old pointed out in sign to what was to be given to us. In this sacrifice, we see plainly what has already been given to us. Those sacrifices foretold the death of the Son of God for sinners. In this sacrifice, he is proclaimed as already slain for sinners, as the apostle testifies. Christ died for the wicked at a time when we were still powerless, and when we were enemies, we were reconciled with God through the death of his Son. Once you were estranged from God, at enmity with him in heart and mind, and your deeds were evil. But now, by Christ's death in his mortal body,
God has reconciled you to himself in order to welcome you into his presence as saints without the slightest impurity or imperfection.
God made Christ's sacrificial death the means of expiating the sins of all believers.
God has reconciled you to himself in order to welcome you into his presence as saints without the slightest impurity or imperfection.
Let us pray. Pardon the offenses of your peoples, we pray, O Lord, and in your goodness, set us free from the bonds of the sins we have committed in our weakness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen. 23 minutes before the hour, and we'll check out today's gospel in just a few minutes. In Conversation with God and Morning Prayer on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for Friday of the fifth week of Lent, April 8th, 2022. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, the Lord has told the people precisely who he is, and they accuse him of blasphemy. It's from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John.
The Jews took up stones again to stone him.
I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?
We stone you for no good work, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God.
Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father.
Again, they tried to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John at first baptized, and there he remained. And many came to him. They said,
John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true.
And many believed in him there.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. Daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. Pray without ceasing, we've been taught. Well, of course, there are different forms of prayer, and sometimes we're called on to just pray harder. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. Jesus looks at us with a gaze of expressive simplicity on that night. He looks into souls and hearts in the revealing light of divine wisdom. The spectacle of all men's sins, of the sins of his brothers, files past before his eyes. He sees the deplorable opposition of so many who scorn the happiness he offers them, the uselessness of the generous sacrifice he will offer in vain for so many more. He feels great loneliness and moral pain because of this defiance and lack of response to such an outpouring of divine love. Three times he looks for those three disciples of his to accompany him in prayer. Watch with me, be at my side, do not leave me alone, he has asked them. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Perhaps in that state of tremendous helplessness, he seeks a little company, a little human warmth. But his friends abandoned the friend. That was a night when they should have stayed awake to have prayed. And they slept. They still did not love enough, and allowing themselves to be beaten by weakness and sadness, they left Jesus alone. In them the Lord found no support. They had been chosen for this, and they had let him down. We must always pray, but there are moments when this prayer has to be intensified. To abandon it would be like abandoning Christ, leaving ourselves at the mercy of the enemy. Why do you sleep? He asks them. And he asks us too. Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. For this reason, we say to Jesus, if you see me asleep, if you discover that I am afraid of pain, if you notice that I stop when I see the cross more closely, do not leave me. Tell me, as you did Peter, James, and John, that you need my affection, my love. Tell me that in order to follow you, in order never to abandon you again into the hands of those who plot your death, I have to overcome my drowsiness, my passions, and my comfort. Our daily meditation, if it is true prayer, will keep us alert in the face of the enemy who never sleeps, and it will make us strong so as to endure and defeat temptations and difficulties. If we were to neglect it, we would find ourselves in the hands of the enemy. We would lose our joy and we would be left without the strength to accompany Jesus. Jesus wants us to accompany him today. Without prayer, how difficult it is to accompany him. Our own experience tells us so. Yet, if we become strong through our daily relationship with him, we will be able to tell him in all certainty, even though I die with you, I will not deny you. Peter could not fulfill his promise that night because, amongst other things, he did not persevere in prayer as the Lord had asked him to do. After his repentance, he would be faithful to his master, even giving up his own life for him some years later. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. 14 minutes before the hour, let's pray with the whole church now. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Lord, you will accept the true sacrifice offered on your altar.
Lord, you will accept the true sacrifice offered on your altar.
Have mercy on me, God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. O wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin.
My offenses, truly, I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight, I have done.
That you may be justified when you give sentence, and be without reproach when you judge. O see, in guilt I was born, a sinner was I conceived.
Indeed, you love truth in the heart, then in the secret of my heart teach me wisdom. O purify me, then I shall be clean. O wash me, I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear rejoicing and gladness, that the bones you have crushed may revive. From my sins turn away your face and blot out all my guilt.
A pure heart create for me, O God, but a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit.
Give me again the joy of your help. With a spirit of fervor sustain me, that I may teach transgressors your ways, and sinners may return to you.
O rescue me, God, my helper, and my tongue shall ring out your goodness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise.
For in sacrifice you take no delight. Burnt offering from me you would refuse. My sacrifice, a contrite spirit, a humbled, contrite heart, you will not spurn.
In your goodness, show favor to Zion, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with lawful sacrifice, holocaust offered on your altar.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, to save us and restore us to your friendship. Look upon our contrite heart and afflicted spirit, and heal our troubled conscience, so that in joy and strength of the Holy Spirit, we may proclaim your praise and glory before all the nations.
Lord, you will accept the true sacrifice offered on your altar.
All the descendants of Israel will glory in the Lord's gift of victory.
All the descendants of Israel will glory in the Lord's gift of victory.
Truly with you, God is hidden, the God of Israel, the Savior. Those are put to shame and disgrace who vent their anger against him. Those go in disgrace who carve images.
Israel, you are saved by the Lord, saved forever.
You shall never be put to shame or disgrace in future ages.
For thus says the Lord, the creator of the heavens, who is God, the designer and maker of the earth, who established it, not creating it to be a waste, but designing it to be lived in.
I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken from hiding, nor from some dark place of the earth. And I have not said to the descendants of Jacob, look for me in an empty waste. I, the Lord, promise justice. I foretell what is right.
Come and assemble, gather together, you fugitives among the Gentiles. They are without knowledge who bear wooden idols and pray to gods that cannot save.
Come here and declare in council together, who announced this from the beginning and foretold it from of old. Was it not I, the Lord, besides whom there is no other God? There is no just and saving God but me.
Turn to me and be safe, all you ends of the earth, for I am God. There is no other.
By myself I swear, uttering my just decree and my unalterable word.
To me every knee shall bend, by me every tongue shall swear, saying, only in the Lord are just deeds and power.
Before him in shame shall come all who vent their anger against him. In the Lord shall be the vindication and the glory of all the descendants of Israel.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
All the descendants of Israel will glory in the Lord's gift of victory.
Let us go into God's presence singing for joy.
Let us go into God's presence singing for joy.
Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing for joy.
Know that he, the Lord, is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
Go within his gates, giving thanks. Enter his courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name.
Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal his merciful love. He is faithful from age to age.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
With joy and gladness we cry out to you, Lord, and ask you, open our hearts to sing your praises and announce your goodness and truth.
Let us go into God's presence singing for joy.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred was his look beyond that of man, and his appearance beyond that of mortals. So shall he startle many nations. Because of him, kings shall stand speechless, and those who have not been told shall see. Those who have not heard shall ponder it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
From those who would trap me with lying words.
And from the hunter's snare.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
The Lord said, I have done you many acts of kindness. For which of them do you want to kill me?
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies,
from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord said, I have done you many acts of kindness. For which of them do you want to kill me?
Let us pray. Thanks be to Christ the Lord, who brought us life by his death on the cross. With our whole heart, let us ask him.
By your death, raise us to life.
Teacher and Savior, you have shown us your fidelity and made us a new creation by your passion.
Keep us from falling again into sin.
By your death, raise us to life.
Help us to deny ourselves today.
And not deny those in need.
By your death, raise us to life.
May we receive this day of penance as your gift.
And give it back to you through works of mercy.
By your death, raise us to life.
Master of our rebellious hearts.
Teach us generosity.
By your death, raise us to life.
We pause in silence to remember our own petition. We pray to the Lord.
By your death, raise us to life.
Let us make our prayers and praise complete by offering the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Pardon the offenses of your peoples, we pray, O Lord. And in your goodness, set us free from the bonds of the sins we have committed in our weakness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
It's a day of abstinence from meat, and if you don't eat meat anyway, find something else to abstain from. Morning Air is coming up next. I'm Paul Sadek. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the app. Go out, make it a great day, and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.